We're often faced with the choice of doing something we know is worth doing, but something we also know is going to make demands on us. Faced with that kind of a situation, we often experience an internal struggle. On one hand, we want to do the worthwhile task, but on the other hand, we don't want to do it. In nearly all ways, we find that if we can overcome our resistance and follow through on our good intention, we'll feel afterwards confident that we did the right thing. It makes us feel good, right? It's probably true to say that we experience this kind of struggle several times a week. And in addition to those daily struggles that are part of life, we may find ourselves engaged in a more fundamental struggle where the future direction of our lives is at stake. Those moments in our lives when we have a really important decision to make, and how we make it has enormous consequences for ourselves and for others. The right decision can often be the more difficult one, and the struggle in making it can be great indeed. In today's gospel reading, we find Jesus in just such a significant moment of decision. The hour when he has to leave this world is drawing near. The journey from this world to his Father will be painful and traumatic. As he faces into this hour, he asks aloud the question, "What should I say?" He then discusses two possible answers to that question. He could ask the Father to preserve him from the hour of his suffering and all that that entails. "Father, save me from this hour," he says. Is that what he should say? Alternatively, he could ask the Father to be present to him as he heads into this hour, this time of suffering. And this is, in fact, the prayer that he makes at this crucial moment in his life. He says, "Father, glorify your name." Rather than the focus of the prayer being on himself and on what he needs, rather than saying, "Save me from this," the focus of his prayer is on God, his Father. "Glorify your name." Rather than putting what he wants at the center of his prayer, he puts God, his Father, and what his Father wants at the center of his prayer. With the prayer, "Father, glorify your name," Jesus commits himself anew to doing the work that the Father has given him to do, even with all of its consequences. That question of Jesus, "What should I say?" or some version of it, can be a question that we find ourselves asking too in those moments that we talked about earlier. What should I do? What path should I take? Jesus took the path that God wanted him to take. That path involved a dying, but it was a path that was ultimately life-giving, not only for himself, but for all of humanity. In our own lives, taking the path that God would want us to take will often involve some kind of dying for us, such as dying to our own comfort and convenience, letting go of the plans that we have for ourselves or for our families. This can take very ordinary forms. It's not necessarily always in the drastic situation. Just as we are about to sit down and watch a movie or stream an episode of some show, something mindless like, "Is it cake?" I speak from experience, I guess, on that one. Maybe I'm the only one that watches "Is It Cake?" You know, they show you two different, anyway, whatever. Is it cake or not? It's all in the title. We get a phone call from someone who needs to talk to us, right? Do you take that phone call? Do you not? Another time, someone asks us to visit them, and the only opportunity we have to visit is on that Saturday or that afternoon when we have some time off. Time we usually take it easy. Or maybe it's when we learn that there's a need and we have the time and the ability to respond, but we also know that if we do so, it's going to require a significant amount of energy and time from us. It's going to make a demand on us. The strong temptation in those times is to pray, "Father, save me from this hour," to try to preserve ourselves, to try to protect ourselves. Today's gospel makes a strong declaration that if we invest energy in trying to preserve ourselves, we will lose ourselves. Anyone who loves his life loses it, is what our Lord says. But if, on the contrary, we give ourselves away, we will find life. It is the grain of wheat that falls to the earth and dies, that bears much fruit. In this gospel reading, Jesus is addressing his disciples, addressing all of us, and he teaches us that we find life by giving our lives away, by doing that thing, that self-emptying thing, that dying to ourself, by dying to our tendency to live for ourselves alone. Jesus is the supreme expression of the grain of wheat that fell to the earth and died, and in dying yielded a rich harvest. In giving his life for his flock and for all humanity, Jesus rose to new life, and that new life has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who is the foretaste, the first fruit of eternal life. This pattern of gaining life for oneself and for others through the giving of our life, this should be the pattern of all of our lives. It should be the pattern of all who belong to Christ, all of those who are baptized into Jesus. As Paul says in one of his letters, when we give ourselves generously and cheerfully, there's no limit to the blessings God sends upon us. Recently, I recognized this pattern of self-giving that leads to life in the life of a father and son who I've come to know. Perhaps you also know them or have heard of them. Jeff and Johnny, they live here in West Michigan. And there's really no way to describe Jeff and Johnny without using the word incredible. You see, Jeff and Johnny, together, they form a team. They are triathletes. They compete in triathlons. Now, you all probably know what a triathlon is. It's a long, challenging race with three separate legs, swimming, biking, and running. First you swim, I don't know how long, a long time. Then you bike, and then you run. And for someone like me who is so sedentary, who can't even run on a treadmill without breaking both feet, it's hard to imagine that such a thing exists. But I assure you it does. I saw it on the YouTubes. People actually enjoy doing all three of those things, one after another, without stopping to sleep in between, without eating something in between, and guess what? It doesn't kill them. And Jeff and Johnny, this father and son duo, they've competed in a number of these triathlons. And pretty soon, they're going to go and compete in probably the biggest triathlon there is, the Ironman World Championship in Hawaii. It's always been a dream of Johnny's to compete in the Ironman World Championship. And this fall, he's finally going to get to do it. And he'll get to do it with his best friend, his dad, his father Jeff. There's no one else that Johnny would rather do this with. And the truth is, Johnny wouldn't be able to do it. He wouldn't be able to compete at all if it wasn't for his dad, Jeff. Jeff and Johnny, they compete as one, swimming, biking, and running. When they compete in swimming, Jeff propels himself through the water, and with each stroke, he pulls behind him. He pulls behind him a rope that's attached to a kayak in which Johnny lays. When they compete in biking, Jeff pedals, and he pulls behind him a trailer in which Johnny rides. When they run, Jeff runs and pushes Johnny ahead of him in a custom-made sports bike. Along the way, during each grueling leg of this race, Johnny encourages his dad. He cheers his father on. He's his father's biggest fan. And he's his biggest fan, yes, because his father clearly is an amazing athlete. He's his father's biggest fan, yes, because if you ask him, if you ask Johnny, Johnny will say he's never met a better man than his father. He's not met a better, kinder, more generous man than his dad. But most importantly, Johnny is Jeff's biggest fan. He's his biggest fan because of how much his dad loves him. If you ask his dad if he himself is particularly passionate about triathlons, he'll quickly tell you he's not. He doesn't like to run. He's never enjoyed that part. He wouldn't be competing if it was just him. He doesn't do any of this for himself. He does it for his son. He swims, bikes, and runs, not because he loves it, but he swims, bikes, and runs. He does all of that because he loves his son, and he wants nothing more than for his son to experience what he otherwise could not experience. What a clear image Jeff and Johnny are of the gift of dying to self, of the gift of self for the sake of another, of self-emptying, right? Of the giving of oneself in love so that another may have fullness of life. We're only a week away from Holy Week, and during Holy Week, we remember Jesus' readiness to fall to the ground and die for our sake. As we contemplate his dying for us, we find ourselves drawn to him. Jesus says in today's gospel reading, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And allowing ourselves to be drawn to him, we will find the strength to take the path that he took, the path of self-giving love, the path of self-giving that leads to fullness of life. It is only our union with Christ which will empower us to take this path. And every day, we need to invite the Lord to draw us to himself so that we too can become the grain that falls to the ground and dies, and in dying, bears much fruit. We give thanks to our Lord for all we receive from him. And in response, we give of ourselves in service and love in imitation of him, in imitation of Christ. God loves a cheerful giver and one who cheerfully glories in all that he's been given, all that he's given to us. In our lives, when we leave this altar today, in our lives when we leave this altar every day, let's show our gratitude by giving with a generous attitude, giving of ourselves generously, cheerfully, sacrificially, all in response to our Lord, who gives himself to us lovingly, sacrificially, with joy and generosity and abundance. May Jesus be praised, now and forever.